All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Can you lower this a little bit? It always seems so loud to me. It's not too loud? Okay. Sounds good? Yep, that's good. Yep. All right, good evening, everybody. We are getting ready to start on our rest of our Torah portion for this week. And it's an honor to be able to be up here again. It gets a little nerve-wracking sometimes, you know, because this is a big responsibility. You know, we got to be careful what we say. We got to listen and say what he says. You can't say your own words. One of them had a lot of weight on his shoulders was Yeshua. Yeshua was incredible. You know, I was looking up the word Israel, and the word Israel, I was able to look it up through brothers and sisters here. They doing their homework, and they're looking it up. They passed it on to my wife, and they were sharing some stuff with me, and I'm looking through there, and I'm like, man, this is interesting. And so I got to really learn the word Yisrael. You know, Yisrael is one who prevails and overcomes with his help. And there's one who truly overcame and prevailed with his help, and that was Yeshua. He had a lot of weight on his shoulders. He had a big responsibility. He had one shot at it. And he didn't fail. Out of all the stuff that he had to go through, all the things as a high priest, everything he had to go through to be the pure red heifer, he had to be the spotless lamb, he had to be the spotless ram, he had to be all those things, and he made it. And, you know, I was thinking about that this week. What has held me? And I asked myself, what has held me this long? It's been 22 years since we walked in these doors. And the main thing I came here for was my wife and I was about to get a divorce. And when I met her, I didn't meet her because of the money she had. I didn't meet her for her parents. I didn't meet her for her status. I met her and I fell in love with her character, her beauty, and who she is. And so we stayed together faithfully for a long time and trusted each other, and there came a spot where we hit a hole. Made some mistakes because we was living in the world. How many knows the world doesn't treat you too good? Once you get a bunch of the good stuff, it looks pretty on the outside, but there's a hole you run into. And there's nobody to help you, and you're in a corner. So we came here to get our marriage fixed. And in the process, we fell in love with Elohim. We fell in love with God. Because neither one of us, you know, I can just vouch for myself. I never had the father figure. You know, my grandfather is a great father figure, but there's nothing like having, like, you look around and see everybody has that birth father, that biological father, one that might look like you a little bit, you know, everything, you know, but it wasn't there. And so I looked up to God when I came here and drew interest in my creator. Everything I started seeing and on the waters and fishing, everything I was involved in, I started seeing the creation that he made, how incredible he is. And so I fell in love with him, and I started learning, and that's the main thing that's kept me. I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about eternal life and rewards that come. But if it's about eternal life and just rewards, we're missing the whole thing. You know, in the Shema, it says, Shema, hear and do. Shema, be Israel. One who prevails and overcomes with his help. Shema Yisrael. Yehovah, he is Echad, he's one. He is one. And you tell Ahava, you'll love Yehovah. With Levav, with your heart and your mind. You love him. And then I was cutting the grass today thinking about all this. I was like, Father, what is it? What am I missing? I'm going through this 12 portion, I'm going through everything. There's something more than just eternal life. There's something in the scripture I'm just missing. I haven't heard this for a while, and he dropped it right on me. He said, this is eternal life, that we may know you. That's eternal life, that we may know you, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is, to get to know him. And that's what we're doing with the Torah portion. These past 6 years, we're getting to understand Yah's likes and his dislikes. We're getting to know him. The more knowledge, the more you dig. It's a love story. Yeshua strode right by his side and didn't fail all the way to now. He's at the right hand of his Father because he loved him that much. He obeyed him and he did everything. And the scriptures also say he grew in stature. What did he grow in stature in? The Torah. He read the Torah. He understood his father's likes and his dislikes. He knew what would destroy him and he knew what would keep him. He fell in love with his father through the Torah. He grew in it. And that's what we must do. We must, at home, get these Torah portions and dig in there. And the more you dig, the more you read, you might not understand some certain things, but just like you did to me today, cutting the grass, asking, just asking. And he dropped it. Chad, you don't remember? You didn't come here just for the marriage and for the brokenness. You fell in love with something. I said, I fell in love with you. Every time I've gone through times where I've been pouting in the corner and I want to quit, he's still right there, and I don't want to leave him. There's nothing else over here. I done came from over there already. I don't want to go back to that again. Things aren't going my way this day or this week. So I was like, you know, I was reminded, I thought about, you know, little kids when they're in the store. I thought about this. I remember there's a kid in the store and you get in trouble, wanting something, and the parents say no, the child goes off the house and goes and runs away. Or the parent walks away. You know, after a little while, it gets lonely being by yourself. You're going to come back and look for that parent. Where's the parent at? You know, you're not going to stay away too long because you're lost. You don't get your way, but you come right back. You know where your help and your trust and what's going to provide for you, what's going to take care of you. Because I want something, I don't get it. Hey, you learn to get over it because where are you going to go? What you going to do? You got to have him. And in Isaiah, Yeshia, in chapter 53, verses 11 through 12, I just put this in here this evening. I had to put this in here because I'm thinking about Yeshua. Everything that he went through. And there was something that I was listening to a song. It was a James Black song on Isaiah 53. And it said, it talked about knowledge. Because the Torah is knowledge. We've got to have knowledge. It says, in verses 11 through 12, he would see the result of the suffering of his life and be satisfied. And through his knowledge, my righteous servant makes many righteous, and he bears their crookednesses. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great, and he divides the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his being unto death, and he was counted with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And there he makes intercession for me. And anything I made a mistake in today, I repent and ask for forgiveness. And he's at the right hand of the Father and cleanses me from all my iniquity and all my unrighteousness. And I asked him, I said, please don't let this iniquity have dominion over me. Let me be freed from it. Who's supposed to be free from it? And that's the same thing with Elohim. We should love him for who he is. And how is it that if we don't know what he's like, what he likes, or what he dislikes, it's impossible to grow in trust, faith, and prevail and overcome with him. And maybe we've been taught wrong of what he's like, making him out to be something he's not. And that's what many traditions and religions and dogmas of men, making him be out something that he's really not. 6 years now, and we've only begun to scratch the surface of what he's like, right? Looking at his word through Hebrew perspective has me seeing a very loving and selfless God, Father, and a Creator. And his son, Yeshua, strided with him all the way to his side. And I just said that. So let's look at the Hebrew word and meaning of Yisrael. When we are grafted into the body of Messiah by his blood, we are grafted into the covenants of promise that we were once far off from without Elohim. And so by the blood of Messiah and our immersion in his name, we are grafted into Yisrael. Christian, when we say we are born again Christian, that's a broad name. But in here it says when you get grafted in, you become an Israelite. Yisrael. You become Yisrael, his bride, and therefore we are children of Yisrael. Yisrael in the Strong's H3478 means he who prevails, and overcomes with this El. So you look at Yisrael, and at the end of it, it sticks out, El, for short for Elohim, your God. So that's what it means. So we ought to get used to saying, I'm trying to get used to that today. I've been going over that word over and over. Rather than saying Christians, say, I've been grafted into being a Yisraelite, one who prevails and overcomes with his Elohim. And how do I do that? Yeshua grew in that. Take the Torah, study it, read it, apply it. And when you apply it, you become clothed in a robe of righteousness. Adam and Eve was clothed in righteousness. And when they sinned, their first sin, when they transgressed the first time, the robe came off. What did that happen? What happened next after the robe came off? You become exposed to the elements. You become exposed to wickedness and evil and trickery. So when we transgress his Torah, we're doing just like the prodigal son did. I'm going to do it my way. And the robe comes off. Guess what? You get exposed to trickery, lies, evil, wickedness, your mind gets bent, and what you think you're okay in, you're really not. The devil does not stop throwing trickery on the minds of people day and night. And he tries. What he does, he tries to paint a pretty picture on the outside, like something so beautiful, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, but he doesn't show you the mold and the depth and the sickness and disease that's inside the pretty box you're about to take home. What you're about to eat, what day you're about to serve your Shabbat on. He doesn't show you all those things. He paints a pretty picture of what everybody else is doing. And he does a good job at it. A real good job that most of the world is deceived in. And the church. Most of the church is deceived in. He's changed the times. He's changed the days, the seasons. I get to talk a lot to customers, and I always bring up, I love to talk about, since I've seen it through Hebrew eyes, of the new year and the Hebrew calendar, because it's beautiful in God's new year, whenever the flowers bloom, the butterflies come out, you can smell the fragrance, it's the new year. It's not according to the Gregorian calendar, in the dead of winter when all the leaves are still off the trees and it's dead. This new year is what it brings to life. And so I'll start bringing up that conversation on the boat, and I'm like, wow, I've never heard that before. I said, yeah. I said, why would God make the new year in the dead of winter? I said, don't you know whenever you look on a Gregorian calendar, every one of those months are named after a god? Let's take January, for instance, Janus. It's a two-headed god. You're like, really? We've never heard that before. People are oblivious to what's going on around them. They have no idea. We're all blinded to it. And so we ask the Father, hey, Father, ask that. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, heart and mind to know, and he'll do that. You start digging into the scripture and do what Yeshua did. Follow Yeshua and it'll open up your heart and mind. You start seeing the reality of what things really are. Our example of this in Yeshua, he prevailed against. I'm going to go down a bit further. So, in the name Yisrael, Strong's H410, which means mighty power, the shortened form of El. Mighty one in the root word, verb, Sarah. Strong's H280, which means to persist, exert oneself, persevere, wrestle, contend, which is spelled the same as the name of Abraham's wife, Sarah. So keep that in mind. Keep Sarah in mind. This is in the name of Yisrael. Strong's H8283, which means princess or noble woman, which is the feminine of the word Saul. Strong's H8269, which means prince, captain, chieftain, or ruler. So we got Sarah, a princess, and we got Saul, which means a prince, a captain, or ruler. We are a royal priesthood. And in a manner of speaking with Abraham as our father in the faith, we are also the children of Sarah, the princess, and so are also princes in the kingdom of our king. And we who prevail and overcome shall rule with our master in Elohim. Why am I mentioning this is to make it abundantly clear that as a called out, chosen, and set apart royal priesthood of Messiah, we are Yisrael and need to guard all he commands us to. That's why we guard all what he commands us to. When we guard what he commands us to, we prevail, right? And we overcome with our L, just like our master Yeshua did. He's the prime example we have to follow. And I don't have time to go over a bunch of the slides that we went over before, but I'll kind of brief over a little bit. I was kind of wanting to go over a little bit with the prodigal. It's interesting to look at the prodigal now through Hebrew eyes, through a Hebrew perspective. You know, we used to look at it without the Hebrew perspective on it, as looking at it as the lost tribe of Israel, the older, the younger brother. And so the robe is talked about in the Torah portion. Well, it's not talked, I'm not sure if it's talked about the Torah portion, but I wanted to make mention of the robe, because the robe is important to talk about. The younger brother, when he chose to go venture out and do what he wanted to do, he was exposed to the elements. And remember, we talked about what's unclean. Pigs are unclean. What did it talk about? What he was in? The pig slop. He was in, with the pig. The pig slop represented unclean foods. Living without the house rules left him exposed, and he got his robe back. And he came back, what his father put back on him? He put a robe on him. And so I want to focus on the robe. The robe is a covering from being exposed. Exposed to the elements of darkness and wickedness and trickery. There are also counterfeit and false teachers and leaders wearing these robes. And this is in the Torah portion, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And I said to him, Master, you know, and he said to me, these are those coming out of great distress, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we're going to have a robe that is cleansing us through the blood of Messiah, the blood of the Lamb. Mark 12:38. There's also this other counterfeit side of it. And in his teachings, he was saying to them, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces. This highlights for us the need to ensure that we are not dressed in hypocrisy through the false pen of the scribes that have worked falsehood. There's a lot of falsehood and trickery out there. And the Torah is the only way to know the difference between the counterfeit and the real. That's why we can't do away with the Torah. In Jeremiah 8:8, it says, and Pastor mentions this a lot of times, it says, how do you say we are wise and the Torah of Yehovah is with us? But look, the false pen of the scribe has worked falsehood. There's a lot of addition and taking away from the Torah today. A lot of falsehood. We've got to be careful and be aware of. So it's important to follow Yeshua. He's the door, and he's the only way. And what did he follow? He followed his father's words from the Torah. We are to be clothed or robed in righteousness as we hear, guard, and do the clear Torah of Elohim. And it's worth noting that there is another Hebrew word that is worth looking at. It's often translated as robe. And we've been to this in the other Torah portions, but I just wanted to go over it one more time. How many know it's good to keep going over this and over this and over this? It rings the bell after a little while. Ding, ding, ding. You have eyes to see, you have ears to hear, and a heart and a mind to know. Constantly going over it and over it and over it, and it starts sinking in. That's how I learned how to do taxidermy. That's how I learned how to be a charter guide. It's no different. If you don't pick it up, if you don't study it, if you don't dig, and if you don't obey what it says, don't expect it to happen. Nobody's better than anybody else. Pastor ain't, hadn't got it all because, you know, it just fell out of the sky, or he's the best pastor in the world, or he was anointed different than anybody else. He's done his homework. He loves Elohim. He loves him with everything. He loves him levav, with his heart and with his mind, all the time. And it shows. It shows that Yeshua loves him with everything. That's why he's seated at the right hand of his Father. So here's the differences in the robes. And remember, it was just a stroke of a pen. There's the hay, which got a little space, and then the chet, There was certain words that just a little stroke of a pen could make a big difference. Here, it says, the Hebrew that is worth looking at, the Hebrew word, is often translated as robe, which is the word male. Strong's H4598, which means a robe, a mantle, a cloak, an exterior garment which covers an inner tunic. It can also be described as a sleeveless coat. Ma'el, the other word ma'el, M-A-A-L, the other one was M-E-I-L, male or ma'el, which is H4603, which means to act unfaithfully or treacherously, violate or break faith. Now, when we understand the meaning behind these individual letters, we see what makes the difference between serving faithfully and being unfaithful or corrupt in service. The difference between the two words we're looking at is the picture of a hand or arm in a hand. And so when we look at the word for robe, we can see the clear message of how Yehovah, out of the chaos of the waters, set his order in place through his instructions. Man sinned and was naked and exposed, and Yehovah saw a man needed a covering, which he sent through the work of his outstretched arm and right hand, Yeshua Messiah, in order to redeem us back under his rod of instruction, being forever robed in righteousness. And that's our covering. Without the true covering, our works will be exposed for their wickedness. The covering that makes the difference between a true robe and that which is false and wicked is the outstretched hand of Yehovah. The Torah portion focuses in the commentary on the importance of the Sabbath and the Shabbat and the Yovel. So we're going to look at, this is our Torah portion we started off this week. Bahar, Hebrew for on the mount, at Mount Sinai. So I started looking at this, recounting Omer. At that time, it was going to Mount Sinai. They were headed to Mount Sinai for a reason and purpose. And we're headed to Shavuot for a reason and purpose. We constantly want to get the sin out of our lives. We're constantly reading the Torah, we're studying the Torah, and we're putting on the Torah and obeying the commandments and getting sin out of us. Counting the Omer every day. We look at all the Psalms 119, we're reading through those. I'm going way past Psalms 119. We've got all these slides to go through. I've been through all these slides over and over, and it just clothes you and it protects you from the elements. When you get out there, you're so focused on God and wanting to do the right thing that you don't want to break it. You don't want to do the right thing. You're focused on, I'm trying to get somewhere here. Where are we going? We're going Shavuot. We're counting the Omer. We're going to get to Yehovah. We're looking to get to Yehovah. His Spirit's going to come again, and it's going to fill us up. We're looking for more wisdom and knowledge and understanding, just like Yeshua did. He grew in stature. And so that's what we're heading for. And you know, when I was looking at this, I was thinking about Ruth. Ruth popped in my spirit. In Ruth chapter 1, 15 through 19, I was thinking about Ruth. In chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her mighty ones. Go back and follow your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to go back from following after you. For wherever you go, I go. And wherever you stop over, I stop over. Your people is my people, and your Elohim is my Elohim. Where you die, I die, and there I shall be buried. Yehovah do so to me, and more so also, for death itself parts you and me. And when she saw that she was strengthening, and when she saw that she was strengthening herself to go with her, she ceased to speak to her, and both of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to be when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved because of them. And they said, is this Naomi? So it wasn't just her locked in. There was also people that were aware when they came back. So we're supposed to love him with all our heart. And when we're loving him, there's also people that's watching. Right? That's what it says. It said, because of them. And they said, is this Naomi? So the whole main point was Ruth grabbed on to something, and she wasn't going to let go. And so when we're on our way to Shavuot, we count on each day, we strengthen ourselves. That's what Ruth did. She strengthened herself, and she wasn't going to look back. She was going to go. She had a mind made up, I want that God that you serve, and I'm going that way. Where you go, I go. You die, I die. You do so to me as you do to you. I'm not stopping, and she strengthened herself to go. And that's what we're doing. I'm counting on every day. Making mistakes. Every one of us is making mistakes. I make them on a daily basis. I have good days, and then I have bad days. But I got a goal in mind. I love what he loves. And that's how I'm going to make it. And that's how I made it this far, because I love him. It's not just about getting eternal life and getting rewards and accolades or being a leader in something. I have a family that's following me too. I have people in here I'm talking to today. I'm responsible for others. I have people's lives in my hand for what I say and what I do. It's a big responsibility. And so you have responsibilities too. You have a workplace. You have people you're affiliated with. You have families you talk to on the phone every day. We got to watch what we say. We got to be careful. We see the message pop up to pray for certain people. Everything's important to Elohim. Everything is important. And that was an important moment for Ruth, right? Very important moment. She strengthened herself. And we strengthen ourselves to get to Yehovah and Shavuot. Counting our home and strengthen ourselves to meet with him. We're going to meet with him. And then we're going to go through more feast days. And we're going to meet with him. And we'll go through more feast days. And we're going to meet with him. We're going to meet Yeshua one day. And I go for 1,000 years to get ready to meet him. We're going to meet the one who made us. We're going to meet the one who loves us so much that he gave his only son. We're Yisrael. We prevail and we overcome with El through his son. We must ask ourselves, what am I after? Loving Yehovah and Yeshua for stuff? Yisrael overcame together in the mirror image of one Yisrael who loves El, Yehovah. Loving what Yehovah loves and hating what he hates makes a unity in a person with their maker and their defender. He will not defend wickedness and rebellion. Keep that in mind. He will not defend wickedness and rebellion. He tells us who he defends. He defends those who obey his commands. Right? So we should have heard it loud and clear enough. He meets us on the seventh day of his Shabbat. You will prevail and overcome with El on his Shabbat. Not any other day. Not any other day. Not the first day of the week. Not Sunday. But Saturday on the seventh day. That's what he said in his Torah. That's what he said in his word. He's never changed it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're being kadosh. We're being set apart ones. We're being set apart ones. Yisrael will prevail and overcome with the El. Keep that in mind. I've been rehearsing this in my mind over and over and over and over. So I know who I am. Slide 92. I'm going to go to slide 92. Because we went through all these slides in the Torah portion already. We don't really need to go over them again tonight. Should have been going over them at home. Keep going over them. We're fixing to come to our next Torah portion. So our time is running short. So look over these. We'll be coming to the next Torah portion pretty soon. This is when Yeshua was talking about the young man that said that he was obeying all the commands. What else should I obey? What I lack? And the young man said to him, all these I have watched over from my youth. What do I still lack? And Yeshua said to him, if you wish to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. And when the young man heard the word, he went away sad because he had many possessions. And Yeshua said to his taught ones, truly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the reign of heavens. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the reign of Elohim. And in a footnote in the Aramaic, Gamla, which is camel, or you could look at this as rope. It's impossible to get a rope through the head of a needle, much less a camel. So think about that. It was more than just giving up one's possessions. I know we always get locked into, you know, I've obeyed this command. Oh, well, I got to give up all my stuff. I got to give up all my possessions. But it said this for a reason. We're talking about the Yobel. The commentary in this, and going to Mount Sinai, is talking about the Yobel. You got to keep the Yobel in mind. It was more than just giving up one's possessions. It was about the Yobel and the understanding thereof. I mentioned earlier that the seventh Sabbath year would teach us to trust in Yehovah, and that in that year, all the poor and needy would be taken care of. You know, when you start working on something like something you want to learn to be, like charter fishing or taxidermy or whatever it is you want to do, you have to start A, B, C. You can't go L, M, N, O, P. You have to start with a foundation in the beginning. And that's how Yehovah starts, everything in the beginning. For us to go to Yobel and know all these, we have to start with Shabbat, what's the seventh day. And we have to start obeying that. And when you understand the freedom in Shabbat on the seventh day, then you start seeing seventh day to the seventh Sabbath leading to Shavuot. And then you start seeing the Yobel. And you start seeing the 7,000th year, the freedom reign when Yehovah, when Yeshua takes over. You start seeing all these things, but you have to start practicing and learning this one before you can get to the rest. So if we are still not learning what Shabbat is, don't expect to understand what Yobel is. So you got to start with one and carry on to the rest. It says, teach us to trust in Yehovah, and that in that year all the poor and the needy will be taken care of. Now in the Yobel, the responsibility of this reaches its ultimate fulfillment, and that release is proclaimed. And so when Messiah instructed this man to go and sell all he had, we see both the Sabbath year picture as well as the Yobel picture being illustrated for us. You see that? If you don't look at the Hebrew through Hebrew eyes, you won't understand what he's talking about when you get to the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. If you put that out of the way, you're going to be making up stuff. And that's what we've done in the past. We made up stuff. Oh, you got to give up all your possessions now. You don't even know what your bound is. You don't know what the seventh day is. You see what I mean? It gets confusing. You're trying to make the puzzle pieces fit because you want to make it eternal life and you want to get to know Yehovah, but Yehovah is a little bit confusing here because we've had it taken away from this word. So when you get to the true word and put the puzzle pieces back to the Hebrew eyes, you understand it's a Yobel. Somebody Yobel. This man could not release what he held to be precious and considered his own. We have also noted that the assembly in Masay, Acts, had the true understanding of ownership and that all belongs to Yehovah, and the need to care for each other is vital in the life and body of Messiah. We have a long ways to go. We still hold our businesses. We don't share each other's stuff as if it would be for everybody. We got a long ways to go. We're just getting through unclean foods. We're just getting to Shabbat. We're learning to love and like what he likes, and we're learning to hate what he hates. We're getting through all the paganism, all the holidays. We don't need to do all that anymore. Now we're getting to the feast days, and little by little, we're learning more and more. It's taking some time, but that's okay. We've got to keep trying. Keep trying, and we're going to get there. Another important note was when we looked at the church in Smyrna. Revelation 2:8, and to the messenger of the assembly in Smyrna write, this says the first and the last. And Isaiah 48:12, who became dead and came to life. Revelation 2:9, I know your works and pressure and poverty, yet you are rich. And the blasphemy of those who say they are Yehudim and are not, who are a congregation of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. See, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison in order to try you, and you shall press for 10 days. This is talking to Israel here. It says, be trustworthy unto death, and I shall give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He who overcomes shall by no means be harmed by the second death. It is a Yom Teruah where we see the trumpet sound and the awakening blast of Elohim resounding and bringing forth his wrath. And those who are sealed of the Messiah must stand firm and hold fast for 10 days until Yom HaKippurim, when the last trumpet will sound in spectacular entrance and the dead Messiah will be raised and be gathered and assembled. For this, the last Yom Kippur, when the atonement of the house of Israel will be completely fulfilled at his coming, as he treads the winepress of his wrath, destroying the works of the enemy and bringing the release of his people at the sound of the new bell. I need to back up a couple more slides. Revelation 3:3. Remember then how you have received and heard, and watch and repent. If then you do not wake up, I shall come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know that all what hour I come upon you. But we should know. We're going to know. We should know. Nevertheless, you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white because they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. This is where I'm trying to get to. The assembly in Smyrna is told not to be afraid of what they are about to suffer, and that they will have pressure 10 days, and are called to remain trustworthy to the end. So, in Revelation, the Church of Smyrna, the love for someone will go through the elements to get to the one who he truly loves. This is his love towards us, and this is our love towards him. Yeshua will strengthen herself to get to him in doing what he says. So, we're going to go through the elements. We're going to go through the elements. Yeshua went through the elements. We're going to go through the elements. But as long as we stay clothed with the robe of righteousness, we won't get exposed to the elements, and we won't be tricked. We'll know the time, we'll know the place, and we'll know we're going to be all right. Though you die, you'll be raised, right? So then you remain trustworthy to the end. And there's only one way to prevail and overcome, and that's to prevail with your help, just like Yeshua did. Being set apart ones. And there was a scary part here. It was one that I really wanted to go to, was in Zephaniah. Zephaniah is often a book regarded by many as being the hottest book in Scripture, and it speaks more about the coming day of Yahweh than any other prophet. In fact, the entire book's message is centered on the coming of day of Yahweh. If you haven't read just three chapters. There's just three chapters in Zephaniah. And it's an incredible book to read. And it's just like it said. You read that, and you're like, whoa. In fact, the entire book's message is centered on the coming day of Yahweh, with the call to repentance clearly being given to all who are walking in darkness through their rebellious and lustful living. The more I read through this book, the more I come to grips just how alive it is for us today, and how we ought to give careful thought as to how we look when looking intently into the mirror of the Word and hear the very striking words given through this prophet. So I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. He says, woe to her who was rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She did not obey the voice. She did not accept instruction. She did not trust in Yehovah. She did not draw near to her Elohim. Her rulers in her midst are roaring lions. but judges are evening wolves. They shall leave no bone until morning. For prophets are reckless, treacherous men. For priests have profaned the set apart place. They have done violence to the Torah. Jehovah is righteous and remiss. He does no unrighteousness. Morning by morning he brings his right ruling to light. It has not been lacking. Yet the unrighteous one knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are in ruins. I have made their streets deserted with no one passing by. Their cities are destroyed without man, without inhabitant. I have said, only fear me, accept instruction, and her dwelling will not be cut off, and that I have appointed for her. But they rose up early, they corrupted all their deeds. Therefore wait for me, declares Jehovah, until the day I rise up with plunder. For my judgment is to gather the nations, to assemble reigns, to pour out on them my rage and all my burning wrath. For by the fire of my jealousy and all the earth shall be consumed. For then I shall turn to the peoples a clean lip, so that they all call in the name of Jehovah to serve him with one shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. And that day you shall not be put to shame for any of your deeds in which you transgressed against me. For then I shall remove from your midst your proud, exalting ones, and you shall no more be haughty in my set apart mountain. But I shall leave in your midst an oppressed and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yehovah. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no falsehood, nor is a tongue of deceit found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, with none to frighten them. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yehovah has turned aside your judgments. He has faced your enemy. The sovereign of Israel, Yehovah, is in your midst. No longer need you fear evil. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands be weak. Yet Yehovah your Elohim in your midst is mighty to save. He rejoices over you with joy. He is silent in his love. He rejoices over you with singing. I shall gather those who grieve about the appointed time, and who among you to whom is reproach as a burden. So I am dealing with all those afflicting you at that time, and I shall save the lame and gather those who were cast out, and I shall give them for a praise and for a name in all the earth where they were put to shame. At that time I shall bring you, even at the time I shall gather you, for I shall give you for a name and for a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your very eyes, says Jehovah. And that's what we're doing this fall. On the outside, it's all falling apart. And it tries to draw you to give up and quit and go that way. But he says, hold on, Yeshua, hold on. And in a moment, it's going to happen. Everything I told you, everything you're rehearsing and all the feast days, is going to happen before your eyes. And if you're clothed in the righteousness and you're doing what I say, it won't affect you, but it's going to wipe out all the wicked from your midst. And that's what he says. And I will turn back your captivity from before your eyes. Said Yehovah, just hold on. Just hold on. Yeshua held on. He held on all the way to the end till he got to see his father. And he waved the sheaf offering. And I could still see pastor running back and forth. I made it. Remember he was talking about Yeshua? I made it, Father. It worked. And that day, we hold on. And we keep staying clothed in righteousness through all the elements. All the things that goes on around us. And we look like we're the weird ones. And we are. We're the set apart ones. We're Israel. And we're going to overcome with that help. Just like Yeshua did. He promised. We got to stay obedient. And now we're going to start where we left off from on Shabbat. Slide 119. As we consider the fatal state of what should have been a set-apart city, we take note from the next verse the very things that are the clear markings that identify the rebellious in the fire. The Hebrew word that is used here for rebellious is marah, which comes from the root verb marah. Strong's 847, 8:4, which means to be contentious, disobedient, hostile, provoked, openly defiant of authority. 14 times in Ezekiel, we see the term rebellious house being used in reference to Israel, who had transgressed, stiffened their hearts, and refused to hear and obey the clear commands of Elohim. You know, we transgress the law and we're disobedient. That spells trouble. A lot of trouble. We learn that with Gehazi. You shouldn't have lied. You got leprosy. But he was graced. He had a chance to come back. And he did it. It was incredible. Make a mistake. You got a chance to come back. You know why? Gives us a chance. The Hebrew word that is translated as defiled is vinagala, which comes from the root word ga'al. Strong's H1351, which means to defile, stain, be unclean, be polluted, desecrate. In both of the accounts that are recorded in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we take note that when a register was taken of those who had returned to Yehuda in Yerushalayim, there were some who sought their register among those who were counted by genealogy. But they were not found, so they were barred from the priesthood as defiled. Those who are not grafted into the covenants of promise by the blood of Messiah will find that their names will not be found in his genealogy and will be barred from the priesthood as being defiled. That is to say that those who rebel against the proper obedience to the Torah of our Master and Elohim defile themselves and will be rejected for being defiled. The rebellious and defiled not only oppress others to get their own way, they are marked by what they do not do. You know, it's bad behavior when you have someone in the body, and even among your children, you got one that's doing right, and the other one you keep telling them doing wrong, and even in the classroom, I'm pretty sure teachers can vouch for this. You got all the kids, y'all at shalom, at peace, and you got that one individual that just keeps disrupting the class, and it makes a mess for everybody, just to keep trying to fix that one and work on that one. And how you think it is in the church, you got so many trying to follow and do, and you got that one or two that just wants to be rebellious. And it makes others look. And it might bring them to the temptation, well, he or she gets away, but maybe I could do that too. That's what it does. One does it, then another one does it. I remember when I was in class in school, I remember they always had that one. And so that one of these guys, I went to Delta Heritage, and I want to mention his name. It was, don't do that. Anyways, one of these guys at Delta Heritage, he made one of these ninja stars out of paper. And he would fly across the room, and the other guys would catch it. And so I caught on, and I watched him and learned how to make that ninja star. And so he was throwing and catching them. And it was my first time to throw it. And the teacher kept hollering and quit throwing the things, and they would all put them up. Well, we got up and class was dismissed, and I threw it across the room, and the very guy that made him, I clapped him right in the eye with it. And he went down, and the teacher saw it, straight to the office of him, and I got patted by Mr. Kraft, the principal. Just that one, copying up with somebody else, got myself in trouble. It's all it takes. One wrong move. Oh, man. The rebellious and defiled do not obey the voice of Yehovah. Accept instruction. Trust in Yehovah. And you don't draw near to Elohim. Man, you gotta love Elohim. I'm in this to love Elohim. Those who are after the rules to get eternal life and to get something out of it, they're in it for the wrong reason. They're not going to last long. You got to love your Father. You got to love Him. You got to live out with all your heart and your mind. Live out. Remember that word, live out. With all your heart and your mind. It works together. Your heart and your mind work together. These four things are the sure signs or markings of rebellion and defilement. And when one looks at these four markers, we take note of the progression or process that unfolds as a result of rebellion, which can actually be explained in two ways. The inability to draw near to Elohim is a result of a lack of trust. That's another thing. My wife and I got together, married, and we trust each other. Faith builds trust. When you say you're going to do something, when you know you're going somewhere, and you don't cheat around on each other, you can trust each other. But when you cheat around, you can't trust each other. There's a trust that builds with Yehovah when you obey His commands. When you obey His commands, He can trust you. If you be faithful with little things, I'll make you a ruler over many. That's why Yeshua is the king, because He obeyed them all. So He is the king underneath the authority of Yehovah. He's not Yehovah. He's the son of Yehovah. So the inability to draw near to Elohim is a result of a lack of trust, which is primarily due to a clear refusal to accept discipline and instruction that is given for disobedience to the word. Disobedience will cause one to refuse discipline and correction, resulting in a complete lack of trust in Yehovah, causing one to drift through compromise and draw away from Elohim and the gathering of the set apart ones. You'll see that individual, it's only a matter of time. Because once you let the road go and get rebellious, you can act the act, you can talk the talk, but you can see it, the enemy's coming. And he's going to connive, and he's going to drive lies and trickery. Before you know it, they're going to disappear. And it's somebody else's fault, it's their fault, and they end up going to somebody else's church, going to somebody else's place, and then they'll find them a little group. Guess what so-and-so did? And all along from the beginning, they sat in the back row, or that row back there, they didn't show up, they didn't do what they was told, they disobeyed Elohim, and they fell out, and the enemy comes loud in the ear. Now, it's not my fault, it's everybody else. It's everything else. And everything starts falling apart, and then sickness comes. And there may be death to a loved one that they're affiliated with. And then the prayer text comes. And when the prayer text comes, everybody pray. Everybody pray. But then you fell out. But still, we love and pray for them. And that's because we love them as we love ourselves, right? We love them. We don't want that to happen. You know, I don't want that to happen to anybody. Leviticus 25:14, in the Torah. And when you shall sell whatever to your neighbor or buy from the hand of your neighbor, do not exploit one another. According to the number of years after the Yovel, you buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops he sells to you. According to the greater number of years, you increase his price, and according to the fewer number of years, you diminish his price, because he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. And do not oppress one another, but you shall fear your Elohim, for I am Yehovah, your Elohim. We are to fear Elohim, and we see in Hosea the picture of returning, which is a theme of Yovel, and the fearing of Elohim. Hosea 3:5, afterwards the children of Israel shall return and seek Yehovah the Elohim, and David their sovereign, and fear Yehovah and his goodness in the latter days. The Yovel has been proclaimed by Messiah, and we are now to return and seek Yehovah. This is a call to walk in faith and not trust in the flesh, but make Yehovah our trust. And that's what the Father is doing to us in these strict Torah portions all week long. He's weaning us off of the flesh, little by little. You know, He's not going to take us and throw us in shock. You know, you can take fish and even shrimp sometimes. You can have them in cool water. And you throw them in hot water, you can put them in shock. And they don't make it too well. Or you can take them out of hot water and throw them in cold water. It shocks you. You do that with a goldfish. When you buy it from the store, you take them in a bag, you have them in the water, and it's cool. And you might have them in a tank at your house if the water's warm. And you put the temperature on there, you set the whole bag in there, and let the water gradually, slowly get to that temperature. And then you can release the goldfish, and he's got the temperature. It took him a little bit of time to regulate to get there. So that's what Yehovah is doing through every one of these Torah portions. Whosoever will. I mean, you can take a chance and not study, not read, just come every now and again, don't do nothing at home, but it's not going to help you, it's going to hurt you, because you're going to stay in your flesh. He says, you live by the flesh, what's going to happen? You'll die by it. Remember, we talked about this in the last talk portion, last one Wednesday night. The flesh is very deceptive, and it's death, and is dying. We're all dying. But the Torah is life. And Yeshua is the living Torah, and it gives life. And it only gives life to those who obey. He said, remember in Hebrews, he said, you can't just be a hearer only. You got to be a doer. You have to do what it says for you to get life. You have to speak what it says to get life and perform it. You don't just put it on and take it off. Put it on and take it off. You don't dress with a suit up here and come on Shabbat and then take it off when you walk out the door. You're just deceiving your own self. You're looking in the mirror and you see what you're supposed to do, but you don't do anything. You have to do something. When it says that you have to have a full beard, I took him at his word. I want to have a full beard. I'm taking him at his word. I don't care what anybody else says, how it feels, by giving a hug to somebody. He said, have a full beard. It represents something. And, you know, I started talking to my brother Robbie, he was sharing with me that beards are healthy. It promotes health of the body. I didn't know that. You know, when it says, don't eat these unclean foods like pigs. Pigs are harmful to the body. They have disease. Where did Yeshua cast the demons? He cast them into the pig. Why did he cast them into the lamb or a cow or something else that was good? Because he says in the Torah, those things are defiled. They're no good. They're not good to eat. That's why he said to do that. Obey his commandments and you live. You have life. You don't want to have stony hearts full of mold. You remove those stony mold out of your heart. In verse 13, it says, this is called a walk in faith and not trust in the flesh, but may Yehovah I trust. You'll start trusting in Yahweh. Remember, Yisrael, they prevail and they overcome with their El. How? By getting out of the flesh and get back into the Torah. The Torah, when you obey the command of the Torah, is spirit and life. You say, I want to follow the Spirit. Well, if you're not reading and listening and obeying the Torah, don't expect to hear the Spirit. Because the Spirit is in the Torah. When you speak and live out the Torah, that's what the Torah is the Spirit is in the Torah. When you speak and live it, that's what Yeshua did. That's how the Spirit came. By doing what he said. In verse 13, we're told that in the year of the Yovel, each one was to return to his possession. And so herein lies a very powerful call for us who have been sought at a price. You know, thinking about Shabbat, it's the most incredible day of my life because, you know, I'm out there on the boat working and I see everybody day in and day out. They fish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they give the fish no rest. They give their body no rest. They give their boat no rest. They give nothing no rest. You see the pokey boats go out. They constantly fish. Then they give 2 days rest. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they're right. But my point is, there's a lot of work that goes on out there. 7 days a week. 30 days out of the month. All year round. It never gets any rest. And Yehovah said there's 2 years. There's time the whole earth gets a rest for a whole year. You don't see that going on every year at all. After 50 years, after 10 years, after 2 years, all the years that I've been living, I've never seen the earth rest for 2 solid years and nobody do no work. You try to stop doing work somewhere in New Orleans, they'll run you over. There's cars constantly moving, people running in New York, they're constantly going back and forth. You say, hey, Shabbat, they'll run you over. The earth is not going to stop. And that's what Yehovah is talking about when we just read that in Zephaniah. There's coming a time where he's going to halt it all. He's going to cut it all off. And you better be clothed in righteousness because that's the only way you're going to stay. There's no rapture where you're going to be going and leaving and going. So he says, the meek shall inherit what? Not the heavens. He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. He says, I'm going to remove the tares from the wheat and I'm going to burn them. When Yehovah's fire comes, if you don't have the robe on, you're going to get burned up. You don't want to be in the middle of it. It says, so we must return to our master, for we are his treasured possession, and it is on the Yovel that he himself returns his possession, that is us. Leviticus 25:13, in the year of this Yovel, let each one of you return to his possession. What we also recognize here is that since our master redeemer has come and proclaimed our release, we are to make sure that we are returning to him. And here the root word used for return is shuv. Psalms 8:7-7-5. which means to turn back, return, repent, and recover. And it's only by His word being that we are able to return. For it is His instructions or Torah that cause us to be a people who can return. In Psalms, Tehillah 19:7, we're told that the Torah of Yehovah is perfect, bringing back the being. And the Hebrew word translated as bringing back is shuv. Strong's 877:25, meaning to turn away from sin and turn back to Elohim and follow in His ways. When we truly repent and turn back to Yehovah, we will obey His word, which is the same as to hear and do His word. As we intelligibly hear His clear voice, which is always in accordance to His Torah, and guard to do all that He commands us. The Hebrew word that is translated as being is nefesh. Nefesh. Strong's H5315, which is a soul, a living being, and the inner being of a man. So you have a nefesh. This is you. And so you can quit transgressing the Torah and put it on and lead your nefesh in the way to life everlasting. Or you can reject the Torah and live in the flesh and bring your nefesh to death everlasting. So your nefesh is waiting for you to do something with it. Cleanse it out, make it the way it's supposed to be, or just leave it the way it is. And it's heading for destruction. When I'm highlighting these words, it is to simply show us that without the Torah, no true repentance can take place, and those who claim that Torah observance is no longer valid do not understand what repentance means and can never truly turn their lives back to the true living Elohim and Savior of our souls. The perfect Torah brings us back to who? Yehovah, the Master of the heavens. And this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that you may know Yehovah, the Elohim, and Yeshua, whom He has sent. Yeshua is the perfect image and likeness of His Father. So no better person to follow, right? We see the root word shuv being used in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 55:7. Let the wrong forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Shuva, to Yehovah. Shuv to Yehovah, who has compassion on him, and to Elohim, for he pardons much. In the ancient pictograph script, the Hebrew word shuv, Psalms 8:7-25, is written as the follows: Shin, Vav, and Beit. Shin, the ancient script pictured as two front teeth, and carries the meaning of the pressed, chew, and devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks to the sharpened word. So I'll put that in mind when you see Shin. Think about the word. I always think about the word of Yehovah. It's the word. The chew, meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. Think about that. When you're sitting down, reading the Torah, eat slow and easy. Don't just gobble your food. You take your time and eat it easy. You chew on it. Making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying. And it also can destroy as it eats in the food. Vav is the Hebrew script that's pictured as a tent peg. It's used for securing a tiny tent, possibly having a Y shape to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off, to add and secure the hook. And Beit is a letter which pictures a tent floor plan and is a house or a tent and represents the family and the importance of those who are inside the tent and oppose the tent structure itself. We understand the combination of these pictures as rendering a returning or repentance, we are able to recognize that the teeth, which speaks of oppressing, and the picture of the tent peg that secures the house, which speaks of the dwelling, we are able to understand this representing the following. The secure dwelling place that is to be returned to, the word shuv in the ancient form represents for us returning to the secure house where we are fed as we meditate on the word of the house. The earth is going to be going crazy, just like it did when it went through COVID, trying to find the cure, trying to find something, but we're going to trust in Yehovah with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our being. He's going to be our provider. He's going to take care of us through it all. Return to the secure house where we are fed as we meditate on the word of the house. While this certainly represents for us a clear understanding of the true repentance, which entails a proper return by diligently meditating upon the word of Elohim and being washed through his word, we certainly recognize how many may claim to return or repent, yet their disobedience and inability to submit and obey reveals that their repentance is merely a lip service that is given in the hope of getting something favorably back in return. See, it all matches. What are you after? What are you looking for? What do you love? What do you love? You know, word, love never fails. And I got that. I was looking at that on my dinner table today. It says love never fails. Love never fails. Israel obeyed his commands. Love never fails. If they really love Yehovah, they never fail. The Pharisees and crowds came out to see Yohanan and mercy. He asked him a clear question in Matthew 3:7-8. And seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his immersion, he said to them, "You brood of adders, who has warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear therefore fruits worthy of repentance." In Luke 3:7-8, he said, "Therefore to the crowds that came out to be immersed by him, you brood of adders, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that Elohim is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Many may certainly return to seek to be immersed while their lives do not display the proper fruit of repentance." The Greek word that is translated as repent is matzaneo. Metaneo. I can't say that word. That's a tough word to say right there. Metaneo. Metaneo. That's what it says. Metaneo. That's what it says. You got to slowly read. Slowly read. Metaneo. Metaneo. Strong G3340, which means to change one's mind or purpose. After reading that word, I'm going to change my mind. To repent, relent, and involves a complete change in one's attitude and thought. Those who continue to walk according to the flesh may find themselves desperately seeking the inheritance and promises of Elohim, and even so with tears, yet they find no place for true repentance with dead works, like Esau. I mean, Esau, he wouldn't change. He wouldn't submit. He had to do it his way, he had to go and do it his way. And when it finally came time for it, he had no, please. There is nothing. You didn't do anything. You didn't work it. You didn't apply it. You didn't obey it. You didn't love them with all your heart. There's no place for those who are selfish and want to live on their own and do it their own way and have their own rules. And that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. They had their own rules. And that's what many churches have today. We have their own rules. We have our own rules. We got to get rid of having our own rules. Yehovah never changed his rules. And he won't change them for anybody, for anything. But they are life. And if you change them, it goes back to being death again. Adam and Eve tried to change one. What happened? That's why we died today. Hello? Hebrews 12:15-17. See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Elohim, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, by which many become defiled, lest there be anyone who whores. You know, if you reflect on talking about those who are whores, they do it their way, they have their own rules, they don't submit to anything to anybody. Or profane one like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright. But you know that afterward, when he wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. Many tears are not necessarily a clear, true sign of repentance. I've seen many of those in church. I've seen plenty of tears. Turning away from dead works to serve the living Elohim with sincerity and truth, bearing fruit worthy of repentance, is what is required. I'm going to say it again. Turning away from dead works. We've got to turn from the flesh. Turn from the flesh, dead works, to serve the living Elohim in sincerity and truth. Bearing fruit worthy of repentance is what is required. Many return with tears, yet fail to change their lifestyles, rejecting the need to walk in the covenant by guarding the commands of Elohim, and think that their prayers are still going to be heard. And he said it clearly. He says, you do it your way, and you pray to me. He says, those prayers I won't hear. They're an abomination to me. They're dead. Psalms 50:16-17. But to the wrong, Elohim says, what right have you to recite my laws? Or take my covenant in your mouth? Why, you hated instruction and cast my words behind you. True repentance involves a complete forsaking of wrong ways and earnestly pursuing self-partners in order to make sure that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we're doing it in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Remember, whenever we do wrong, we're supposed to represent in Jehovah, we profane his name and we profane Yeshua's name. We bring it to naught. If what we do or say cannot have the name of our master associated with it, then it should not be done. That means that we must guard our thought life too. We must guard our thought life. We must cast down every imagination and bring it unto the obedience of Jehovah. And the only way to do that is stay and meditate day and night. And I'll count the Omer every day. Keep counting the Omer every day. And I'll keep us meditating, keep us making the corrections necessary, and not profane his name. We're out in public, wherever we are, out with family, friends, loved ones, workers on the job, business, wherever we are, we won't profane his name. We're looking to love our neighbor and give life. Remember we talked about that last Wednesday? We're wanting to give life, not death. We're already in the death arena. We don't want to be no more workers of iniquity in the world. The Septuagint, the Greek word that was translated as return, in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 55:7, is epistrepho. Epistrepho. G1994, which means to return back, and this word is seen in Messiah, Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and turn back for the blotting out of your sins, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master. The Greek word that is translated here as refreshing is anapsuxis. Strong's G403, which means recovery of breath, refresh. And we see that when we repent and turn back to the Master, we may receive recovery of breath. You know, when you're on Shabbat, to me, it's like a recovery of breath. It's like you can relax. Like I said last Wednesday, when I go home, TV's off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want nothing to do about the world and all of these things. I want to stay meditating on Yehovah because I got day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 coming again. I want to be refreshed and renewed. Because if I can't be refreshed and renewed for just one day, I'm not going to be able to do it for 6 more days coming. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If I can't do it in one, you're surely not going to make it on the rest. So if we do it on one, it'll help us with the rest. Yeah. Recovery of breath and refresh. And we see that when we repent and turn back to the Master, we receive recovery of breath. That is His Word giving us our very life, that we may live and breathe and praise His name. For everything that has breath, praise Yehovah. We praise Yehovah when Shabbat comes. We'll praise Yehovah when the millennial comes. Think about that. It'll all be at rest for 1,000 years. Not just one day on the seventh day, the 7,000th year, every day. We won't have Hasatan picking on us and trying to draw us away with our eyes and with our ears and with our thoughts. The flesh will constantly be working on everything in the Torah portion to get to Yehovah. Because He'll be coming. My time is running out. I'm at slide 151, and I still got quite a few more to go, but I'm we're not going to make it. I wish I could go through them all. But get online and go look at the rest of these because they're incredible. I'm going to end on the last slide just to show you what I mean. When you get to everything you read in there, it says, as we come to the door of Messiah and guard his appointed times and his feasts that are commanded for the house, the dwelling place of Elohim, we submit under the head of the house, the body, for it is by his outstretched arm, that's Yeshua, and hand that we are delivered out of the nations and cleansed to be a set apart bride that submits to the complete authority of the words of our master and king. Amen? And so that's what we're doing, counting down the army. We're going to get to the next tour portion. I'm going to start right early in the morning before my fishing trip in the morning. I'm going to be sitting in front of the bait shop, and I'll be going to the next tour portion. Getting ready for Friday night, Shabbat, Saturday morning. Steady getting it on, putting a robe on, so I can be protected from the elements that are around me. I may experience somebody that might have some bad words with me. I may experience somebody that might be like that day that was laying in my arms dying, that got hit, that had that four-wheeler accident, that person died. You never know what you're going to encounter. See, I always got to be clothed and ready in righteousness. You're going to get a prayer text. If you're fussing with somebody and hollering, you're going to instantly not want to pray. I've done that before. I've gotten into spots where the prayer text come up, I couldn't pray. It's because it would be done in vain. I don't want to do nothing in vain. I repent, I ask the Father to forgive me so that my prayers would be a sweet smelling fragrance of life and not death before him for this person that I need to pray for. We've got to keep ourselves straight continually and not profane his name. Does anybody have any prayers?